Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Public House of Representatives call. Today is Tuesday, February 4th, in the year of our Lord, 2025. Tonight we're going to start with the reading of the DSI. Well, we're going to finish the reading of the DSI, partially. We're going to start on page 4, and the last paragraph. And we're going to get through 3 to maybe 4, 5 pages of this document. And I'm going to stop the recording near the end of each page and have discussion for all, including and how the 50 laws of life apply to the DSI and throughout the Bible, with Dr. Fred Mosley's commentary as well, and then with discussion as the Holy Spirit leads us on the DSI.
Not bad.
And then after that, Representative Akey requested to have 5 minutes to discuss the oath packet and that the executive has put out for all officers and legislators to complete. But before we get started, would somebody like to open us up in prayer?
I'll be happy to do that, Representative Binder. This is Becky Sowell, North Carolina Representative.
You have the floor.
My pleasure. Dear Lord Jesus, be with us this evening as we bring in new troops in our amazing fight for our republic and our country. You continue to grow us, even in spite of multiple attacks, as many of us know we've been through recently, and we stay strong. We do your work. We raise our hand and we stand because you called us. Please be with us as we continue and bring in amazing people who have also answered the calling, and we're very grateful for them. Be with our leaders. Be with our current corporate people who are actually trying to continue to remove the nefarious actors who have taken over our country for centuries. I pray that your heart and Dr. Mosley's heart are aligned this evening. Give him the words to teach us and speak your word to us. It is in your name I pray. Amen.
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 Praise the Lord. Thank you, Representative Saul. All right. So last time, Mike Rowe from Pennsylvania was sworn in, but I forgot to ask him to tell us a little bit about himself on the last call. Sorry about that. Would you do so tonight, sir? You have the floor.
Sure. Thank you, Mark. I appreciate that. And
yes, sir.
Thank you, everybody. It's nice to be part of the group, and was really enjoyed getting sworn in last week. I am based out of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. It's where I was born and raised.
Yeah, and it did, because she wasn't hit.
Okay, and I was 63 years old, married, have 3 adult children. 2 are married, and 1 will be married this May, so I'm giving away my daughter. And my background is in finance and insurance and investment banking, and recently retired from that and was looking for something to do, and I think I was an active patriot and looking at things online and reading, and I happened to listen to SG and On's podcast with Sandy and the Republic. It interested me, and I emailed Sandy, and I never thought in a million years I would get a reply back, and not only did I get one, I got one the same day, and she introduced me to Senate Pro Temp at the time in Pennsylvania, and her and I engaged in conversation, and next thing you know, I was reading the Volume 2 of the Re-Inhabited book, and I was vetted, and here I am.
Thank you, sir. Do any of the representatives have any questions for Representative Rahm? All right, very good. Thank you for that.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
Yes, sir. The next representative we have to swear or affirm in is Brenda Neville from Oklahoma. Brenda, could you tell us a little bit about yourself, please?
Yes, sorry. I dropped my headset. I'm 67. I'm a grandmother of 8. And friends with the governor of this state.
And tell us a little bit about
we've been
your
on this
walk,
journey kind of together. Pardon?
Oh, I was just going to, I thought you were done. I was going to say, could you tell us a little bit about your Patriot Walk?
Marsha pretty much got me on that. And we started talking about it. So then she said, get this book. So I got it and read it. And got vetted.
Very good. Are you ready to be sworn in tonight, ma'am?
Yes, sir.
All right. Representative Smith, would you please do the honors?
Okay. Which do you prefer, swear or affirm?
Affirm.
Okay. I, and then state your name.
I, Brenda Neville.
Do solemnly affirm.
Do solemnly affirm.
That I will support.
That I will support.
The Constitution of the United States.
The Constitution of the United States.
Congratulations. Welcome to the House of Representatives.
Thank you very much.
Congratulations, yep. Brenda.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I'm excited.
Yes, ma'am.
I may not sound it, but like I said, I've got the flu, so I'm hanging in there.
You get better now.
I will, and thank you so much.
Yes, ma'am. All right, the next representative scheduled to be sworn in is Representative Charlene Brenner from Kentucky. Are you present, Representative Brenner?
Yes, I am.
All right, ma'am. Could you tell us a little bit about yourself, please?
Well, do I have to give my age?
So-so.
No, you don't have to give your age. It's all optional.
Well, I'm just joking. I'm 74 years old. I've been married for about over 40 years.
I don't have the head.
I have two children, four grandsons.
But I still have some grandkids.
I'm a retired nurse, and I think I became acquainted with the Republic. I stumbled across a podcast by SGNON, and I think he was interviewing Sandy. And it just sounded interesting, so I looked it up and made contact and got vetted. And then I was contacted by the state governor. At that time, very few state positions were filled, and I decided to volunteer my time to help out. A lot of the information, it registered with me because I had heard bits of it before from different sources. And I just would like to see this republic become what God intended it to be. You want to know anything else?
That will be fine. That'll be fine.
Okay.
Do any of the representatives have any questions for Representative Brenner? All right, Representative Schmidt, would you please do the honors?
Okay, which do you prefer, swear or affirm?
Affirm.
Okay, Okay, you start with I and then state your name.
I, Charlene Brenner.
Do solemnly affirm.
Do solemnly affirm.
That I will support.
That I will support.
The Constitution of the United States.
The Constitution of the United States.
Congratulations. Welcome to the House of Representatives.
Thank you.
Congratulations, Representative Brenner.
Congratulations.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
All right, next we have Representative Sherry Swingler from California. Representative Swingler, are you ready to be sworn in?
I have myself on mute. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, perfect. What was your question? I'm sorry.
I said, are you ready to get sworn in tonight?
Yes.
Great. Could you tell us a little bit about yourself, please?
Sure. I'm originally from Missouri. I've been out in California for 20 years now, a little over 20 years. 2020, I was introduced to Telegram and kind of went down the rabbit hole with everybody else. And realized what we were missing and how we had been asleep so long, and got plugged into a lot of the channels. And last year I was on, I think it was Where We Go One, We Go All. It was Holly Siliano's channel. And she sent me a private message asking me what state I was in, and I told her I was in California. And she's like, great, I want you to go participate in this Zoom. And that's how I got hooked into the Republic. So I ordered the books, started reading them, got in touch with Sandy, got vetted last year, and was kind of just, you know, kind of just, I don't know, hopping along until I got hooked up with the people here in California. And this past Sunday, we drove up to West Covina, which is L.A. County, to do a reading for the County of Los Angeles so that we can start standing that up. So they've actually been very hard at work here without me even realizing it, because I hadn't been plugged into the right people. So it's very exciting to see that there's actually been a work going on rather than just feeling like you're just, you know, floating around like a butterfly, not really knowing what else to do. So that's how I got hooked in. I have one son that's 18, and that's pretty much my life.
Well, thank you very much, ma'am. Appreciate that. Does the House have any questions to Representative Swingler from California? Mm-hmm. All right. Representative Schmidt, would you please do the honors?
Okay. Which would you prefer, swear or affirm?
Affirm.
Okay. You start with I, and then state your name.
I, Sherry Swingler.
Do solemnly affirm.
Do solemnly affirm.
That I will support.
That I will support.
The Constitution of the United States.
The Constitution of the United States.
Congratulations. Welcome to the House of Representatives.
Thank you very much.
Welcome, Representative.
Congratulations.
There you go, Sherry.
Congratulations.
Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
All right. Next, we have Representative Bill Rohard from Illinois. Representative Rohard, are you here?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. You ready to be sworn in?
Yes, sir.
Very good. And just for informational purposes, he is replacing Representative Trio from Illinois. She went on to be Secretary of State. So, congratulations to her.
Yeah, we switched spots.
There you go. There you go. All right, sir, would you tell us a little bit about yourself, please?
Sure. I'm 66, got two boys. One's 40, one's 38. My oldest boy was born with Downs, so he's a blessing, but has been a challenge for us from through our whole marriage, really. And still lived at home. And then my other son that's 38 is a Illinois State Trooper. And just a blessing, quite a young man. He's a professional arm wrestler that's ranked in the nation. And so I'm pretty proud of that. He's a very good athlete. I'm a blue-collar worker. I'm a construction guy and built tires at a Goodyear tire plant my whole career. And I've always been a seeker of truth. And I've been a Christian since I was 17. Studied eschatology for 45 years. And as all this has been developing, I've had to let go of a lot of what I thought I knew and what I thought how this was going to work out, and realizing there's some variations. And that's been tough. I've been following Q since the beginning, and been very involved in that. I did not like Donald Trump when he came in and was going to run, but I knew I didn't like Hillary Clinton, and I thought for sure she was going to win. And when he beat her, and I heard Kim Clement's prophecy about Trump becoming a trumpet, and I don't know if you guys are familiar with that or not, but I believe in prophecy, and I'm like, well, God, who am I to argue with you? And so ever since then, I've been looking at Trump through a different lens. And that's what people have to do. That's the key, is backing up and looking through a different lens. And he is becoming a trumpet for God. So I'm convinced we're doing the right thing. This Republic situation was totally off my radar. I couldn't completely figure out how Trump was going to transition from a corporation being sworn in again as president to what we know was missing as a republic. And then when I too was watching SGNN and Sandy Marecki being interviewed, and I'm like, oh my goodness. And when I heard SGNN's reaction to the information she was giving him, even helped solidify my feeling of a resonation or a resonance. And I was convinced that this was the next step. This was how this whole thing's going to be finalized, and how America will get back its true identity. And so I made a call, talked to Todd Chesney from Illinois, and slowly made my way to the House of Reps. And I really believe we're on the right path, you guys, and I'm excited. I'm a rookie, but I'm going to do my best and hope to get to know you all better. We'll probably, as this thing transpires, I believe we'll all probably spend time together at some point or another, and I'm looking forward to that.
Well, thank you for that testimony, sir. Representative Schmidt, or wait a minute, does anybody in the House have any questions for Representative Brohard from Illinois?
I just want to say, this is Becky, North Carolina Free State. I just want to say, God bless you. I love your heart. So glad you're here.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Amen to that.
And this is Ronald Hatcher, Georgia Free State. And I'd like to say thank you, too. Appreciate you.
Thanks.
Yes, sir. All right. Representative Schmidt, would you please do the honors?
Okay. Would you prefer swear or affirm?
Affirm.
Okay. I state your name.
I, William Broward.
Do solemnly affirm.
Do solemnly affirm.
That I will support.
will support
the Constitution of the United States.
The Constitution of the United States.
Congratulations. Welcome to the House of Representatives.
Thank you very much.
Congratulations.
Thanks, you guys. Anticipating good things. Yep.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
All right. Next is roll call. I'm just going to say your last name, representative, your last name, and just say, you know, that you're here. Okay. Follow David Schmidt's example. Representative Schmidt from Wisconsin, are you present?
Yep, I'm present.
Very good. Representative Cox from North Dakota, are you present? All right. Representative Blanton from Colorado, are you present, sir?
Present.
Thank you, sir. Representative Mark Binder from Iowa Free State's present. Doug Reed from Nebraska, are you present, sir? Representative Jordan from Louisiana, are you present? Representative Sowell, are you present?
Present.
Thank you. Representative Marshall from Michigan, are you present?
I'm present.
Thank you, ma'am. Representative Hatcher from Georgia, are you present, sir?
I'm present.
Thank you. Representative Leaf from South Dakota, are you present, sir? All right. Representative Jones from Alabama, are you present, ma'am? Representative Holliday from Indiana, are you present, ma'am? Representative Alsup from Arkansas, are you present? Representative
I'm present.
Thank you.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Representative Akey, are you present from Ohio?
Present.
Thank you. All right. Representative Rosolo from Maryland, are you present, ma'am?
I'm present. Thank you.
Yep. Thank you. Representative McCartney from Washington, are you present, sir?
I'm present. Thank you.
Beautiful. All right. Representative Knowlton from Massachusetts, are you present, sir?
Yes, I am. Present.
Very good. Representative Strong from Connecticut, are you present, ma'am?
I am present. God bless.
Thank you. Representative Costello from Arizona, are you present, ma'am?
Yes, I'm present.
Good. Representative Gonzalez from New Mexico, are you present, ma'am? Was that a yes? Okay. Representative Novell from Oklahoma, are you present, ma'am? She said she was probably going to drop off because she has a flu, so I'll mark her as present. Representative Pitzer from Indiana, are you present, ma'am? Representative Rom from Pennsylvania, are you present, sir?
Present.
All right, good. Representative Brenner from Kentucky, are you present, ma'am?
Present.
Thank you. Representative Swingler from California, are you present, ma'am?
Present.
Good. And Representative Brohard from Illinois, are you present, sir?
Absolutely.
Very good. Awesome. So we've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18 representatives representing 18 states tonight. Very good. All right, so Dr. Mosley, as for those of you who don't know him, he's a author of several books, including the 50 Laws of Life, that list those laws and how they applied in the Bible and then and also today. And he has a show on Brighteon TV entitled The Laws of Life Court TV and a website as well, along with Justice Ministries International. And his website is www.lawsoflifecourttv.com. And he's going to be the one doing some commentary on the Declaration of Sovereign Intent that we're going to start here on the bottom of page 4. So we're going to play the recording. You can follow along, and I'll stop near the bottom of page 5 for discussion. And we'll continue on that way. Please mute yourself so you don't have any background noise. Here we go.
We, the Congress of the Republic for the United States of America, assembled in the presence of the Almighty Creator, do hereby claim, accept, adopt, and assert jurisdiction and dominion over all. All is defined to mean what it says, all, without prevarication or exclusion. Things within our borders, including but not limited to the following: all fully or partially publicly funded lands, properties, waterways, rivers, lakes, creeks, streams, mountains, hills, valleys, forests, plateaus, caves, deserts, all natural resources, including but not limited to all minerals, timber, oil, coal, all deposits of any kind, rocks, gravel, sand, water sources above or below ground, flora, fauna, and non-human species, all infrastructure, including but not limited to all fully or partially publicly funded airports, roads, highways, interstate highways, bridges, seaports, railways, including all related machinery, equipment and supplies, tunnels, all airspace above our borders to the highest height, all underground space below our borders to the lowest depth, all directly or indirectly, fully or partially publicly funded facilities contained within airspace or underground space above or below our borders, all directly or indirectly, fully or partially publicly funded above and below ground facilities, including but not limited to all military or paramilitary installations, operations, test sites, facilities, machinery, equipment, supplies, firearms, weapons, ammunition, supplies, uranium-enriched weapons, and all related equipment and supplies, atomic and nuclear weapons and all related equipment and supplies, all experimental weapons and related equipment and all supplies, HAARP and all related facilities, equipment and supplies, bulk storage for any and all fuels, water or food, all aircraft, ships, boats, watercraft, submarines, undersea craft, land craft, subterranean craft and machinery, submersible craft, space probes, airships, dirigibles, satellites, whether conventional or non-conventional, or experimental, terrestrial, extraterrestrial, or intergalactic, or any other type of navigable craft, all funds, trusts, accounts of any source that are publicly or partially public funded directly or indirectly by any type assets belonging to or under the direction and control of the people of the Republic for the United States of America. This includes all directly or indirectly, fully or partially publicly funded trusts, investment accounts and bank accounts, trade platforms and private placement platforms for all experimental, secret and black projects. These funds are to be surrendered to the Republic for the United States of America immediately upon notification by the Republic for the United States of America to the trustees of the above mentioned funds and accounts. The territorial and jurisdictional borders of the Republic for the United States of America include all areas between the southern border of Canada to the northern border of Mexico to the south, the Atlantic Ocean to the east, the Pacific Ocean to the west, and 200 miles out to sea on all coasts, excluding territorial rights of other sovereign nations. Alaska and Hawaii have also requested and been accepted to be included as equal, free, and independent republics. This will exclude some territories, such as the District of Columbia, as defined specifically in the portion of Article 1, Section 8, Clause 17, with respect to the section which states, over such district not exceeding 10 miles square, as may by cession of particular states, and acceptance of Congress become a seat of the government of the United States, and some islands upon which foreign countries may have claims and or titles. These claims and or titles may be disputed at some future time. Proper, lawful titles will be honored, but the Republic for the United States of America reserves the right to negotiate for a return of these holdings back to the possession of the Republic by honorable means of settlement with the holders. The Republic reserves the right to renegotiate any and all treaties with foreign nations, entities, and powers that have any effect on property rights of the people of this Republic on all public, local, and private lands. Treaties affecting private land ownership may be negotiated on behalf of, and only at the request of, the people of the Republic for the United States of America. We.
All right, that takes us to the bottom of page 5, and I forgot to read what the definition of the DSI is, actually. So the DSI is a declaration of intent. It may quote law, but is not law by itself. It is a concept that should be easily grasped because this is also the nature of America's Declaration of Independence. With the publication of their DSI in November of 2010, the Republic for the United States of America did as our Founding Fathers did with the Declaration of Independence. They declared their intent to live free from servitude to the powers that had enslaved them and to return to original constitutional government. So that, in essence, is what the DSI is. And I find it interesting that in 2010, they knew about all those things to claim. So, Dr. Mosley, do you have insight on some of the 50 laws of life that pertain to this page that we just had read?
Well, I will just refer to some of the laws of life that we touched upon in our last session. Then perhaps there will be one or two more that would be fresh and anew that we can make reference to based upon the last several pages of the document. For those who are in attendance for the first time, we take the position that laws, God's laws, not the laws of man, but God's laws govern everything in existence, including the Declaration of Sovereign Intent, which we're reading from now. And we also pull several laws of life out of the first four or five pages that were read on in our last session. And those laws of life were the law of authority, which is clearly delineated in the Declaration of Sovereign Intent. The law of agreement. It always starts with we the people, indicating that the people are in agreement with respect to the document. Also references made to the law of accountability and responsibility. Every one of us must give an account of himself to God. We touch upon the law of overstepping, which suggests that any government that oversteps the God-given authority, then the people can resist that particular government, but in peace and in harmony and in forgiveness. Also, we touch upon the law of resistance and non-resistance, going back to anything that inhabitants of a nation, and in particular, we're talking about the United States, with respect to it violating the laws of God. When I make reference to the laws of God, we're not necessarily talking about the Mosaic, but we're talking about the laws of God, which are enumerated and addressed to us in the Sermon on the Mount. And all these laws of life we pull from pages of Scripture, and they are consistent, and that's what we're endeavoring to show, the consistency based upon these laws of life which are embedded in Scripture as it relates to the Declaration of Sovereign Intent. Now, the next several pages that I would assume are going to be read, we will endeavor to see what, if any, additional laws of life can be touched upon. Again, the definition that the Spirit of God has given us concerning the law of life is that it's an absolute divine truth that governs the consequences of our actions. Everything that we do and everything that we say activates one or more of these laws of life, either in a positive or in a negative way. And again, our effort here is to show how these laws of life coexist with the Declaration of Sovereign Intent. With that, at this time, Mr. Speaker, I yield.
Thank you, sir. I would also add the law of notice and warning, too, if you hadn't already. That's what the DSI and the Proclamation of Claim and Interest do, actually.
Absolutely.
Yes, sir. We can open the floor for any discussion on this page for the representatives. Floor is open if you'd like to discuss it.
This is Sherry from California. I just have a quick question.
Yes, ma'am.
I apologize. I could not follow. Was it page 5 of the PDF or page 5 of the document?
Well,
I couldn't figure out where we were at.
Oh, at the Declaration of Sovereign Intent, not the Proclamation of Claim and Interest, that's first, but the Declaration of Sovereign Intent, we're on at the bottom of page 5 right now.
Oh, okay.
We started at the bottom of page 4.
I wonder if I have that document. I opened up Proclamation of Claim and Interest.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the one that I got in the email.
Right. The Declaration of Sovereign Intent is the first example to that. So first it's a proclamation, then the Declaration of Sovereign Intent is next.
Okay. Okay.
Okay. Cool.
All right. Thank you.
This is Representative Brenner from Kentucky.
Yes, ma'am. You have the floor.
Is this in that volume 2?
It might be. It's a PDF that I sent out in the email that I sent out. And you can get it on the Republic website as well.
As a PDF?
Yes, ma'am. But you can't print it or you can't write on it either. It's print protected and write protected.
Okay, so it can't be printed out.
Right. Yep. You can look at it on your screen.
Okay, well, I'll just have to listen to it.
You can save it on your desktop of your computer or your phone, but you can't. They won't let you print it out.
Okay.
Okay.
This is Representative Alsup.
Oh. Yes, ma'am. You have the floor.
I just wanted to tell the representative, our new representative from California, she'll need to have to keep scrolling down the document to find that second document. It's down. You got to scroll down till you find it. It's on the same page as a proclamation of intent. I yield.
Thank you. Anyone else?
This is Representative Alsup again.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Earlier heard that Hawaii might not want to be a part of us. Is that something new since this is written, or have they come back and agreed to be part of our republic?
Well, I haven't heard officially, but I do know there are people from Hawaii that are interested in being in the republic, so that's going to be interesting.
Okay.
One of the states that probably could be on its own. Most of the rest of them are part of the Union, though, and once you get in, you can't really get out. So that's my opinion, anyway.
This is Representative David Schmidt requesting the floor, please.
Yes, sir.
I've got a lot to say about that. Okay. Well, the only thing is, I've been following that issue for over 20 years, and it goes back, if you study back to the history of how Hawaii was taken over prior to 1893, had an international treaty with the United States of America. And then some of the landowners that there, some of the people that there decided to overthrow the monarchy in 1893 and called out, and the United States Navy sent a ship over in violation of that treaty and forced the Queen of Hawaii to abdicate at gunpoint. So, and that is a big part. This is a matter. This is going to have to go to international court. This is a violation of international law. And the Native Hawaiians, you know, the Native Hawaiians, that they're do not want anything to do because of the fact that the way they were ill-treated by the United States government, they were ill-treated. The Native Hawaiians themselves do not want anything to do with the United States government in any form whatsoever. And basically, the bottom line is, we stole their nation away from them, is basically what happened. And one of the things there, now, in 1959, when they had the proposal for, have the ballot for statehood, now, it is required to have four questions on it. And one is, okay, do you wish to become, enter into union as a state? Second option, to remain as a territory. And I can't remember what the fourth one is, but another one is complete independence. That is the legal requirement. However, the ballot that went out was strictly a yes-no vote for statehood. So there's another huge violation there. And one of the things that there, and one spokesman says that there is, he stated, told that there, you do not negotiate with a thief. And they view anything to do with the United States government as the thief. And so that's something that needs to get some serious looking at. And, you know, like I said before, you got to go back into the history of it. You know, going all the way back to early 1890s in order to really understand that. So hopefully that'll help clarify some of what's going on. And with that, I yield the floor.
Thank you, sir. Anyone else?
Yeah, point of order, Bill Broward from Illinois.
Yes, sir, you got the floor.
Yeah, I appreciate that history lesson. I've heard that before. And yeah, we've done a lot of things like that with our corporate heads. And it just is another point that proves how needed we are. And Hawaii, you know, Hawaii's not the only one where our so-called leaders stole them and took something under duress like that. And that's all going to come out. I believe we're all convinced that, you know, we're in the age of disclosure, and truth is going to prevail in this. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And he literally is truth, and he will prevail. So truth will prevail. And I believe he's going to use a man named Donald Trump to bring a lot of this out. And then the republic will be recognized and embraced. And Hawaii's just one issue that is a big issue that has to be remedied and exposed for what it was. I yield.
Very good. Let's continue on with the reading. We're at the bottom of page 5, starting section 3.
Affecting private land ownership may be negotiated on behalf of, and only at the request of, the people of the Republic for the United States of America. We, the Congress of the Republic for the United States of America, assembled in the presence of the Almighty Creator, do hereby accept and adopt the legislative, executive, and judicial branches of our government as our lawful government structure. The duties of the legislative branch are to write and pass bills into law and present them to the President to be signed into law. The duty of the executive branch is to develop policies and procedures that will assist in carrying out and enforcing the laws passed by Congress. The duties of the judicial branch is to exercise lawful justice and truth according to the principles of our founding law form. It is not and shall not be the duty or right of the judicial branch to practice, make, or pass law by legislating from the bench. All laws in the Republic must be passed by the legislative branch of the government. The legislative branch is the elected voice of the people and the only branch of government that has limited delegated authority and power to enact law. Any law or decree that is created by any other method is null and void on its face and will not be enforced by any official, officer, agent, or representative of the Republic. The grand jury shall guard the private people against abuse by delegated surrogate power. Enforcing unlawful laws will be a criminal act and punishable by law. We, the Congress of the Republic for the United States of America, assembled in the presence of the Almighty Creator, do hereby accept and adopt Article 3 courts and our one Supreme Court, as is provided by the Constitution for the United States of America, circa 1789, a nation judiciary court with the ability to operate in common law. These Article 3 courts and the one Supreme Court will be the only lawful nation courts within our borders. Prosecution of anyone within our borders by any other nation court will be a criminal act punishable by law. This law is not to have any effect on any lawful courts established by the free and independent Republic states within the territorial borders of the Republic for the United States of America. These free and independent republics have the right to establish courts of their choice at the Republic, state, county, parish, borough, or municipal level without any interference or involvement from nation courts. District nation courts may operate within these republics only by the invitation of these free and independent republics. We, the Congress of the Republic for the United States of America, assembled in the presence of the Almighty Creator, do hereby accept and adopt the American Rangers as the duly authorized law enforcement agency of the Republic for the United States of America. The American Rangers will have lawful authority to act on the request of the legislative, executive, or judicial branches of the Republic. Their jurisdiction will be within all areas of our territorial boundaries, as established by law. They will have the powers of arrest by lawful warrant, Article 5 of the Bill of Rights, power to detain by lawful method, power to hold, and power to use force up to and including deadly force when necessary to uphold the laws of this Republic. They will not be prosecuted for any lawful action taken while in the performance of their duties. They may be prosecuted for unlawful actions, violating their oath, or failure to obey lawful orders by superior officers. They will be authorized to transport and protect prisoners and protect officers of the court, any other officer of the Republic, and we, the people, as needed. The America Rangers will be authorized by lawful orders given by a superior officer to protect the lives of the officers, agents, representatives, and officials and their families of the Republic by any lawful means. They will be authorized to protect the Republic for the United States of America from all enemies, foreign and domestic, by any lawful means as ordered by their superior officers. A chief and deputy chief, America Ranger, will be authorized at the nation level as the highest officer in the nation for the America Rangers. Additionally, a chief and deputy chief ranger at each regional level shall be under the authority of the nation chief and deputy chief America Ranger. Deputies will be placed in each region as needed as provided by the executive branch of the Republic. The chief ranger at the nation level will be responsible for creating all policy and procedure directives that will guide all actions by the rangers. America Rangers are authorized to act within each of the several republics by consent or invitation by the governor or his representative. The America Rangers will be administered an oath or affirmation and agree to uphold and defend the Constitution of the Republic for the United States of America and all legislated laws by this legislature against all enemies, foreign and domestic. Failure to uphold this oath will be a criminal act and subject to prosecution according to the criminal laws as passed by the legislative branch of the Republic.
Well, there's a lot there that some of you didn't know about, American Ranger Program and stuff. So, Dr. Mosley, do you have some laws of life that pertain to this that we just read?
Well, yes, and one law of life that's predominant throughout the document would be the law of sowing and reaping, which most of us are familiar. Galatians 6:7, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever man soweth, that shall he also reap. And I would suggest that it also applies to whatever nation soweth, that shall it also reap. There's a law of accountability and responsibility, which we mentioned, but also a law of delegability and non-delegability. There's some things that can be delegated by a nation, but there are other things that are non-delegable, and some of those things may have been made reference to with respect to the Declaration of Sovereign Intent. Another law of life that we could perhaps take a look at is the law of vengeance. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord, I will repay. And God knows how to deal with the situation, when, and what is the best method to use in order to deal with it. These are just a few additional laws of life that are embedded in the Declaration of Sovereign Intent. And there's many more that also could be referenced, but we'll mention those three now. And as you continue with the document, there are others that I anticipate that we will be able to draw from the Declaration of Sovereign Intent and to expand upon it. I yield.
Thank you, sir. I would also add the law of authority here to the American Ranger Program and law enforcement.
Well, that certainly would apply, the law of authority throughout the document.
Yes, sir. Well, the floor is open if anyone has a quick comment on what we just read here, the laws of life.
Sir, this is Representative Alsup again. May I have the floor?
Yes, ma'am, you have the floor.
I have two sort of questions. One is, they talk about Article 3 courts. What is an Article 3 courts? I know under Article 3 we talk about the justice system and they talk about the Supreme Court, but it doesn't explain to me what an Article 3 court is. And the second one is, we just got through writing our assembly paper for our county, and we say the sheriff, the county sheriff, is the supreme rule of our county. So how do the rangers fit in? Because we're from the bottom up. So how can a national ranger be supreme to a county assembly sheriff?
I can tell you that the sheriff is supreme in the county right at the present time. The rangers are for the future, and the Article 3 court you're talking about is a constitutional common law court, something you can't get nowadays unless you convene one yourself. That's about it. But so this is for the future, basically. We're interim right now. We're setting up the government. We're doing the best that we can to get it going. This is legislation written back in 2010 through 2012. And so even though it's a declaration, I mean, it's spelled out, let's put it that way. And there is legislation on the Rangers as well. It's in the American Security Act. So it's futuristic, but it sure is nice to know that, this has all been thought out, basically, and gone over and made sure that it's constitutional and in the best interest of the people. So this is the declaration sent to the various agencies, corporate agencies, you know, like the United States Nations and the Joint Chiefs of Staff and the Postal Union and what else am I thinking of?
The Hague, yeah. Postal,
yeah.
Service.
Yeah, very good. Yeah, Hague. Yep, that's one of the biggies.
This is Representative Alsup again. May I have the floor?
Yes, ma'am, you have the floor.
I'm just curious. So you say the Security Act. Was that act done by the de jure government, or is that a de facto government? And is the Chief Ranger, so like what we have as a U.S. Marshal now, by the de facto government?
Well, that's kind of a gray area, whether the sheriff's de facto or not. I guess if he's on the de facto payroll, then he's considered a de facto sheriff. But sheriffs were around before the de facto got set up. So they're kind of grandfathered in, I guess. And let's see, what was your other question on that?
Well, oh, I'm just wondering if they're national people, is it really the U.S. Rangers, the same as what we know as the U.S. Marshals now?
It could be factions of that, yeah. I think they're mainly going to replace the police as well. I mean, there won't be police and there won't be all these agencies. There'll be the American Rangers, basically.
Hmm.
And the first Congress of the Republic for the United States of America from 2010 to 2012 is the one that did the writing of these documents that we're reading right now. And that act that you mentioned as well, the Security Act.
Okay, so that's de jure. Okay, I yield.
Yep. And I plan in the future to go over all the acts that Congress wrote in the first Congress for the Republic. So perhaps next time I'll read the titles of them so you can get a flavor of what's going on, and then we can reveal them later, I guess.
This is Representative Brenner from Kentucky.
Ma'am. Yeah, the floor.
Is this like a national military or a national police force?
No, well, it's not the same as a police force. See, constitutional law enforcement is a lot different than what we have right now for the de facto law enforcement. They're only going to enforce laws and bring people to courts that have injured somebody. They may be concerned about somebody who's getting in their car and weaving on the road and everything, but it's not going to be arrested for drunk driving just because of that. But the downside to constitutional courts are that when you injure somebody, you're not going to get an easy sentence. You know, you're going to pay the price. And some of the stiffer penalties for sedition and treason are death and all kinds of good stuff. Justice Waters goes over that in his judicial call. So it's going to be better in the long run as long as you don't injure somebody, I guess is the best way to sum it up.
This is Representative Alsup again. In that assembly paper we made for our county, we say there's a de jure grand jury.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll be taking care of the county issues by the county sheriff, but they'll go to the grand jury of the county. Now, is that going to not flow with this document here?
No, it should be fine. States get to do what they want to do in that respect. You could call it a grand jury. You could maybe call it a jural assembly, or there's another name for it that I'm not familiar with. But it's all to try to work together and to take the corporate police for profit out and put in the American Rangers that are for the people. It's all, this legislation is being done all for to serve and protect the people, not to gain funds for the corporation. That makes
sense. Okay, so in our county settlement papers, we have the sheriff department absorbing all police departments, and they become under the rule of our sheriff department.
Well,
so I'm just
kind of.
I'm sort of at a loss how this is going to work together. I yield.
Yeah, it'll come in time, Don't worry, it'll come in time. Sometimes you read some documents, you have questions, and then you read another document, and you go, oh, that's why. So sometimes the puzzle pieces fit in nicely. All right, I think that's about all we have time to do tonight, and I did promise Representative Akey that he could have 5 or 6 minutes to talk about the document package that's gone out recently. So, Representative Akey, are you ready to do that tonight?
Yes, I would like to address the floor.
All right, yeah, just give me 1 second here. I just wanted to thank Dr. Mosley for coming on here and doing the 50 Laws of Life. And for those of you new that just got here that aren't familiar with them, I'll send out a list of the 50 Laws of Life and his website if you want to look up what his website's like so that you can be familiar with the 50 Laws of Life that we're talking about. And there are God's laws, law of nature and nature's God. And they're time-tested and proven. So, Dr. Mosley, thank you for coming on board, sir. Appreciate it.
Thank you for allowing me to share. You all have a blessed evening.
Yes, sir. You too.
You too, sir.
Thank you, sir.
All right, Representative Aiki, what do you have for us tonight?
Okay, I have a few comments on something that has concerned me and many others. And I wrote a short little paper out here, and I'd just like to read it. My name is Richard Aiky. The last name is spelled A-I-K-E-Y, and I am the representative for the Ohio Free State. I appreciate being given the opportunity to speak to the body about a matter that concerns me and a few others. That matter is the required signing of the non-disclosure agreement and the oaths that are being required by the Republic leadership. I wish to make it clear that I speak only for myself and I do not represent any other individual or group. First, I would like to give you a brief look of my background so you might understand my position on this matter. I began working in a family-owned business at the age of 12, well over 60 years ago. I was raised old school and was taught that a person's word was their bond. I grew up with the sons and daughters of my father's customers, where businesses were conducted with a handshake. After many years, the banks and insurance companies have forced my father to get a contract signed with each of his customers. Being a service-oriented business, my father had to go to nearly 400 customers, many who he had been doing business with for over 20 years, and he had to have them sign a contract. He told me several times that that was the most difficult task he ever had to do, and the business sparkle that was in his eyes for years gradually faded. A few years later, like so many other family-owned businesses, he was sold and retired. I then moved on to other endeavors. Nearly 5 years ago, I began to awake. By chance, I discovered a video concerning the Dumbs and underground tunnels. This led to the discovery that I'd been lied to for my entire life. I also learned of the human trafficking and the abuse of our children. I became obsessed with the idea of trying to save not only the children, but our country as well. I formed and joined many different groups, constantly looking for an answer. Our Creator sent me down many different paths and put me in touch with many different and wonderful people. In August of 2024, I landed on the doorstep of the Republic. I was a bit confused and remained so somewhat by the concept of an office placeholder, particularly concerning recent events. It appears that we are being groomed for a much larger role, which I heartily agree with. But there also appears to be some type of hierarchy in the Republican movement. I'll leave that out. I was brought into this very house after verbally swearing a very short oath online. I did not have my hand on a Bible, and my identity was not verified. yet somehow I am being required to sign and provide a red, wet ink thumbprint to what I believe is a third-party generation oath package, which also must be signed by witnesses. If my fellow representatives can accept my verbal word, why can't the Republic leadership do the same? I have concerns with the oath package, but in the interest of time, I will only touch upon a few. The use of witnesses is a grave concern, and I resent the questioning of my integrity. If the Republic leadership cannot accept my word, my signature and or autograph is equally without value. We have gathered together to restore a Republic form of government based on the law of God, as we learned in Volume 2, and the trust of man. Yet we begin by not trusting each other. If so, we may very well be doomed in our task. The non-disclosure agreement is actually a contract, the very thing we are trying to eliminate. The word agreement is in this document 13 times. Even this agreement is invalid because all contracts must have at least two parties. And in this non-disclosure agreement, there is only one party signing, which is us. There is also no remedy or penalty clause save for a mention of consenting to go to court. We are not permitted to disclose the existence or the terms of this agreement, yet we must supply two witnesses. There has been too much time and energy spent on this oath package, which could have been spent on saving our country and, more importantly, our children. I have one final comment. Anyone who has read my paper, A Question of Religion, April 8, 2024, may understand why I rarely mention the Bible. But I would note that Matthew 5:33-37 addresses the very question of swearing oaths. The views I've expressed are strictly my own, and I do not speak for any individual or group. I thank you for your time. If anyone desires to contact me privately, I will be more than happy to supply my email address. With that, I yield.
Thank you, Representative Akey. I can only speak to a little of that, and that would be that two or more are required for a land settlement. If you buy a land from somebody, this is biblical. If you buy land from somebody, two witnesses are good. This isn't new. We had an oath package back in 2010 when officers joined the Republic, and the reason why we have a short constitution, a short oath of office in the House of Representatives, and the reason why there's a long one for the executive is because it's the executive's documents, and they're appointing officers. Usually the representatives are considered members of the House, but in this point in time when you're using Northwest Ordinance, when you're being appointed by the president, then he appoints officers. So we're temporarily officers, except in the House, where we're in a different jurisdiction, in my opinion, and then that means that we are members and representatives. If that helps clear anything up, that's good. Otherwise, you might go to the training call next Tuesday at 5:30.
I went to the
And I yield. The floor is open. Would anybody else like to make a comment? All right. It is getting kind of...
Sorry, I was muted.
Sure.
Representative Binder, first of all, I want to apologize to everyone. This is Representative Holliday of the great state of Indiana. I was late and missed the roll call, and I apologize for that. I have a question. Why are we, and this is not to offend or question anything, but why do we have to sign a non-disclosure agreement? And I'm just asking as a basis for the building of the Republic coming back, because if we share this information to bring people into the Republic, it's very difficult not to trespass upon the non-disclosure aspect of it. So I'm just curious what the relevance of it. I yield back.
Well, in my opinion, the non-disclosure agreement is so that sensitive information that you're that you may be entrusted with is not given to those that would be nefarious to the Republic. It's good to keep things private once in a while on sensitive issues, and the House of Representatives can have a private session if their national security does require it. So I think that might be one of the reasons why they wanted an NDAA or an NDA to be signed. It's not for the people that are God fearing and will do the right thing. It's for the other people that may get in somehow, basically.
So the specific to this is if we're sharing something and we say this is of sensitive information to the House, let's say, then it specifies that indeed we are now in a discussion of sensitivity and the non-disclosure takes effect. But overall, generally, we're free to discuss the Republic and the fact that we are... We've been saddled with a corporation that, you know, primarily is defunct right now, but never should have happened. But we will be alerted if there's something that is sensitive in business.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, okay, all right. That was sort of, okay, thank you. I agree with that.
It's more for the executive branch that, you know, that has sensitive military information and other sensitive materials and stuff. It's more for them than us, really, in my opinion.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. It's getting kind of late. I think we should probably wrap it up, ladies and gentlemen. Got a few more things to do before we can leave. Let's see, so I thank Dr. Mosley for that. We've done that. Let's see. All right.
Mark, can I ask you one more question, please?
Sure. Or you could wait till after the call and you could ask it to me. Would that work?
That'll be fine. That'll be fine with me. Okay.
We'll wrap it up real quick here. And then, all right, so we're going to wrap it up, and I'm just going to read my script here. Hearing no further discussion, I'd like to entertain a motion to adjourn and reconvene on the next scheduled Republic House call. Would anybody like to make a motion to adjourn?
This is Representative David Schmidt from Wisconsin making the motion to adjourn until Tuesday, February 18th at 8 p.m. Central. Let's add a yield.
Thank you, sir. Do we have a second?
This is Representative Alsop. I'll make a second.
Thank you. We have a... We have a motion to adjourn on the floor and reconvene February 18th at 8 p.m. on Tuesday. All those in favor, say aye.
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 Aye. Anybody object? Okay. Before we adjourn, would someone like to close us in prayer? I could do that. Father of all creation, in the name of Yeshua, we pray We thank you for all the blessings and miracles that you are pouring out, both seen and not seen by us. Strengthen us to be all that we can be, Father. Even if we are in the face of adversity, we seek you and humble ourselves before your Shekinah glory. Bless our republic as we continue forward to re-inhabit America with our original constitutional rule of law, Bible-reading republic. Watch over our military, Father, as justice is served upon our enemies and by just courts. We ask for a dome of protection that has been penetrated by the enemy around America, around our military, and Christians and patriots all around the world. We petition for the end of child abuses and crimes against humanity everywhere on this earth. We ask you to bring your glory and your presence in our lives, Heavenly Father, and bring us safely back till we meet next time. We ask this in the mighty name of Yeshua. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Amen.
So be it.
Amen.
So be it.
Thank you, everyone, for coming out tonight, and I'll stay off and ask any questions that you might have if you want to stay on the record.